Are you wrestling with questions that really matter but just keep coming up empty or perplexed? Well, you've come to the right place. Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff, host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, is committed to equipping you with answers that have stood the test of time. Our aim is to help you mine the Bible for all its wealth, so you can share those riches with a skeptical world still hungry for spiritual truth. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. You can't say it enough. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, puts you in direct communication right here live on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Numerically, 888-ASK-HANK translates to 888-275-4265, and we will be going to your calls in just a few moments. Again, 888-ASK-HANK. Do you remember our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail? It's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. This is a big week for me. I had a bone marrow biopsy last week. The results coming in on Friday. I feel so peaceful about this situation. And I am grateful that there are people from around the world that are letting me know that they are praying for me. And what a great privilege to have people pray for you in circumstances like this. And even while I was having the biopsy, I was thinking about the people around the world suffering far worse things than I am. I've also been struggling with an undiagnosed cough that nothing seems able to suppress. But the Lord was really good. I prayed as I was preparing for communion on Sunday. I was in my office and I was reading 1 Corinthians chapter 11 again. I was preparing my heart for taking communion. And during that time, the Lord broke my heart. I'm not a weeper, but He reduced me to tears as I was thinking about a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And as I was praying, I asked the Lord, Lord, I just don't want to have to cough in church. If you could answer that prayer for me, it would be so, so meaningful. And first time in probably months and months and months, I did not cough. I did cry a little bit. I saw a baptism and a chrismation. I saw someone, in other words, come to the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And it was such a beautiful thing to see that it caused me to tear up. The Lord is good, and He is working in the midst of His people. I want to say one thing, and then we'll go right to our callers again. Another number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. An article in Sunday's Charlotte Observer, pretty much a well-balanced article. It was titled, Christian College Requires Teachers to Sign a Pledge Opposing Same-Sex Marriage and Abortion. The article says that a Christian college in North Carolina Mountains that's long been associated with the Billy Graham family is in turmoil over the school's insistence that faculty and staff sign and live in accordance with a new document that opposes same-sex marriage and abortion. What's become controversial, the article says, are those parts of the covenant that expect those who work at the school to affirm, quote, the sanctity of marriage between one man and one woman, and the worth of every human being from conception to death. Now think about that for a moment. That is what has become controversial, because these phrases translate, in the view of many, into condemnations of same-sex marriage and abortion. And as I was reading the article, I couldn't help but think, how in the world can this be controversial within a Christian institution? It's just plain biology and biblical teaching. The idea that a conceptus is a person is no longer biologically controversial. And with respect to same-sex sexuality and marriage, one should recall that less than a decade ago, you had the President of the United States, Barack Obama, affirming that marriage was between a man and a woman. So here you have a college that has been in existence, I think, 101 years. Essentially, as far as I know, it's been affirming these same principles throughout its history, but now, suddenly, they are marked. They're on the list. And it has become very, very controversial because the president, Paul Maurer, is asking people to sign this statement, again, affirming life and affirming what civilization has essentially affirmed throughout its history. And by the way, this has nothing to do with treating same-sex sexuality students in an offensive manner. Obviously, that would be very unchristlike. What we as Christians do is we say that it is critical for us to treat everyone with gentleness and with respect, that we ought to reach and not repel. When someone does come to faith in Christ, obviously, that means they're going to follow the principles of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They're going to be participants of the kingdom and therefore conform their lifestyles to his precepts and principles. That's what it means to become a Christian. So again, this shouldn't be controversial, but boy, is it ever becoming controversial. A lot of people hanging on. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll go right to the phone lines. Talk first to James, listening in California on Sirius XM 131. Hi, James.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Love your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have a question. That movie, The Young Messiah, how accurate is that?
Well, you know, I don't remember all the details of that particular movie, but I would say this is a great example of how we ought to take what is given to us with Hollywood spin and test it in light of the synoptics and the Gospel of John. And what's cool about that is you become ever more familiar with the real, and that allows you to critique whatever you're watching. As has been well said, contrast is the mother of clarity. How do you know if a stick is straight? Well, if you lay a straight stick next to it, you can determine immediately whether it is straight or not. And that straight stick, again, is the infallible repository for faith and practice. I'm talking about the Word of God. My recollection is not particularly positive about that movie, but I simply cannot remember as I'm sitting here in the studio.
It inspired me, and my faith has been going since I watched it. I don't know what it did, but I just wondered, even if it wasn't as accurate as supposed to be, it did something where now I'm just on fire for the Lord. But
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, I still struggle with it because I doubt myself. But then again, all of a sudden, sometimes I feel like I know. But then, I don't know, it's very confusing. But
well, what's cool again, though, is that you have the opportunity to test all things in light of Scripture and hold fast to that, which is good. So what does this do? A question like you just asked drives you into the Word of God. And that's essentially what will really stoke a fire within you, the Word of God. I have fallen ever more deeply in love, not only with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but with His Word. Obviously, for many, many years, I've been memorizing the Bible, and the more I do it, the more I reflect on it. And even when I go through tough times, it is what I have memorized that the Lord causes to surge back through my mind, and it gives me a great amount of strength and courage and faith and trust. And so hopefully this does the same for you. So rather than me being able to answer your question in this particular case, answer your own question by laying the straight stick of Scripture next to the movie. Okay?
What's that? Did you ask me another question?
No. I was just giving you the basic advice of contrast being the mother of clarity. Hey, thanks for calling, James. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Al listening in South Dakota on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Al.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm okay.
Well, good. Hey, since I learned that you joined an Orthodox church, it's made me curious about Orthodox doctrine. And I was reading on an Orthodox website that the Orthodox Church does not believe that the guilt from Adam's original sin was imputed to his descendants. And I wondered if you could confirm that's true, and do you believe that? Has your belief in that changed recently?
No, not at all. I mean, I've been teaching this as long as I've been in the studio, and usually quoting Ezekiel, is it 26, I think, which is an entire chapter which is devoted to the fact that we are all guilty for our own sin. The Father is not guilty for the sin of the Son, nor is the Son guilty for the sin of the Father. Each person is guilty for their own sin. So this has always been my position. It has always been what I have taught. And again, the passage, and I misspoke when I said the actual number. It is Ezekiel 18. Again, the entirety of the passage is devoted to. It actually starts with a proverb and then continues on and on. So you can't miss the point. It is the soul who sins who will die. The word of the Lord in this case came to Ezekiel, and you'll probably remember this because it's one of those epic passages in Scripture. What do you people mean by quoting the proverb about the land of Israel? The fathers eat sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, you will no longer quote this proverb in Israel. For every living soul belongs to me, the Father as well as the Son. Both alike belong to me. The soul who sins is the one who will die. So what I've always taught is what the church has historically taught, is that as a result of Adam's sin, we are all born with a broken gene, which means that all of us are born in such a way that we have a fallen nature, we have a propensity towards sinning, and that sin is the sickness of the soul that can only be cured by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Okay, yes, I am familiar with that passage, and I guess I'd always thought that the passage was more directly speaking to a father and his direct descendants, not addressing the question of whether whether all of humanity had inherited the guilt from Adam's sin.
Well, they've all inherited the sin, the broken gene. But in there's a difference in perspective between theologians on this matter, whether we are standing culpable for our own sin or whether we are culpable for the sin of Adam. But again, I think it's the entire weight of this passage and many others. I think of the verse later on in the passage where Ezekiel says that the son will not die for his father's sin, he will surely live, but the father will die for his own sin. And then later on, as I recall, the passage says that the soul who sins is the one who will die. The son will not share in the guilt of the father, nor will the father share the guilt of the son. the righteousness of the righteous man will be credited to him, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against him. Again, the whole passage making the point, and then my acknowledgement on air as I'm talking about this, that this is a matter of dispute between Christian theologians. I think one of the things that's important as we go back and look at a subject like this is to study carefully what the Word of God has to say about this, and then what the church has taught in its interpretation of the Word of God. And we need to be careful that we're not innovative in that fashion, but rather that we have a sense of being pygmies standing on the shoulders of giants. We'll be right back with more of the show.
For multitudes of young people raised in a secular culture, the Christian faith makes little sense. And we're losing millions of younger Christians because they haven't been equipped to make sense of their faith in a world increasingly hostile to Christianity. In short, many young Christians lack what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith. Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith, is a valuable and practical resource for every Christian who wants to know that his or her faith makes sense and who wants to engage with seekers and skeptics based on the solid evidence of their faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. For multitudes of young people raised in a secular culture, the Christian faith makes little sense, and we're losing millions of younger Christians because they haven't been equipped to make sense of their faith in a world increasingly hostile to Christianity. In short, many young Christians lack what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith. Christianity has a rich evidential history, and as followers of Christ, we must learn to make the case for what we believe. Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith, will equip you with the tools necessary to become an effective Christian casemaker. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. All Christians, but especially ones in college, must know what they believe and why they believe it if they have any hope of surviving with their faith intact. The reason, according to J. Warner Wallace, is obvious. College is almost like an atheistic ambush. Christians often enter the university arena totally unaware of the danger until it is too late. And that's why Wallace has written Forensic Faith. A homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable evidential Christian faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith, as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and start this segment with a couple of testimonies that have really blessed me, and there are so many. I'm just going to read a sequence of them. They're all short. Max in Oklahoma writes, Hank, we've been listening to your teaching for many years now. God bless you and your wonderful family. We love you, brother. Keep on keeping on. Davina, you're doing a great job. I listen to you on XM Radio. Love the show. Brenda, in Florida. I ended up with pneumonia last year, Hank, and I was so sick I couldn't really do anything. And I read your book, Christianity in Crisis. I didn't realize how false teachers affected us today. Your book opened my eyes and really led me into the deep study of the Word, an understanding of the Word that I never had before. I love you and your ministry. And one final one, I could be doing this all day, and I'm so grateful for these kinds of calls and letters and communications. Kyle, he says, Hank, I too was disheartened to learn Bot Radio dropped the broadcast at 5 p.m. here in OKC. I use the Equip app regularly. Over many years, God has used you in my life to help me read the Bible for all it's worth and mine it for all its wealth. God bless you, friend. Again, Kyle. I don't know, no notation where Kyle is from, but again, thank you for the cards and the letters and the communications. They have buoyed my spirit. I don't read a whole lot about myself. If I do, I could never do anything in a positive direction, and we have a tremendous amount of work to do as we are seeking to reach people around the world. And if there was ever a time that I needed the listeners that are now listening to me and are web presence has gone up dramatically. Someone's saying over 70%. The increase in listenership has been quite dramatic. And we need those listeners that see the ring of truth in this broadcast to stand with us, not only prayerfully, but also financially. And for those brand new listening in, you can join CRI's monthly support team. And when you do, be pleased to personalize the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated to you, a family member or a friend. If you have that book, be happy to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member or a friend. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Edward. He's listening in Mount Olive, North Carolina, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Edward.
Hello, Hank. The Lord be with you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm doing an in-depth study of understanding the power of the tongue, and I've come across 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. In the latter part of that passage, the Lord talks about, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual praises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, my question in this is, how can I recognize God's Spirit is communicating spiritual thoughts through spiritual words in my life?
Yeah, I think what's important here is the last phrase, but we have the mind of Christ. And if you go earlier on in that passage, Paul says that we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. So the Holy Spirit illumines our minds to what we are reading in Scripture, that this truly is the Word of God, that we can trust our lives to what God has said. And therefore, you know, thinking about the opening monologue, when God speaks about creating us in our mother's womb, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, that all the days ordained for us are written in His book before one of them came to be. When we read about how God has woven the tapestry of life together, we can trust that. And therefore, we're not swept here and there by the vain philosophies and opinions of men. I think it's also telling, you know, politicians change their point of view. When Barack Obama was running for president of the United States the first time around, I think it was, he was making a big deal out of the fact that marriage is for a man and a woman. Well, now he's changed. Well, what has really changed is Barack Obama and the sentiments of a culture that has, in fact, lost the essence of the Judeo-Christian ethic. And I'm going to talk about that in a quote in the beginning of the third segment. So everything comes this way and that way. It's opinion based on the size and the scope of the latest lobby group. But if you are rooted in the principles and precepts of the Word of God, then you will have the mind of Christ on these matters. And when you have the mind of Christ, it means that the Spirit who dwells within you will illumine those things that God has placed within the body of the text, as opposed to us as mere mortals imposing our transitory opinions upon the Word of God. The problem in the church today is everyone has become their own pope. You have all these people hanging up shingles, coming up with their own theologies, and many of them have not spent the time to study the Word of God. I was amazed when I did a debate many years ago on the subject of eschatology, that some people who have written whole books on eschatology, in other words, that's their livelihood, books on the book of Revelation, and have made multiplied millions of dollars from those books, have not even done the rudimentary work of studying the book of Revelation, much less memorizing it. Always was a conundrum in my mind. How could that possibly be? I think we need to be very, very careful when we speak about the Word of God. One of the reasons I am very, very careful when I speak of Eastern Orthodoxy, I still feel as though I'm a little grasshopper on the landscape of Orthodoxy. It's a treasure chest I haven't found the bottom of yet. I've only been studying it 3 to 5 years. I studied eschatology 15 years before I was willing to speak out on it. So I think that we must be very, very careful in these matters. And I think, again, the great thing is that we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Now, that takes some work, and we don't want to be lone rangers, such that we forget that there is a repository that has been passed down through time, critically important that we consider that as well. Again, as I said at the end of the last segment, I think it's always humbling to know that we are pygmies standing on the shoulders of giants. So I study very carefully what others have said rather than arrogantly trudging on my with just my own opinions.
Amen. Thank you. As usual, always great insight, and I thank you for all that you do, Hank. I praise God for you, and I pray for you daily for Him. Thank you for your ministry and your wonderful answers.
Bless you, my friend. I'm deeply grateful for the people that are praying for me right now. In fact, I was going to say I don't want to jinx myself, but I'm so grateful for being able to do the show with a whole lot less coughing than I have in the weeks past. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Pete. He's in Orange, California. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Hank. Yeah, I really appreciate the very important job that you're doing. I just had a question or two about the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah.
They've had lots of false prophecies that have not come true over the years. Isn't that true?
Oh, that's absolutely true. You know, the early Watchtower Society said that the second coming of Christ happened back in, I think this is right, October 1874. And then later on, they declared that Christ returned visibly in 1914, marking the overthrow of human governments. And then in, I'm pretty sure, 1922, the Watchtower stated that the date of 1925 is even more distinctly indicated by the scriptures than 1914. So, you know, the more you read, the more you get the sense that they're making it up as they go along. But I don't think it's only that. I mean, you think about the changes that have been made with respect to many of their tenets. For example, watchtower regulations regarding vaccinations and organ transplants and blood transfusions. In 1931, the Jehovah's Witnesses were instructed to refuse vaccinations. By 1952, that regulation was rescinded. In 1967, organ transplants were ruled a forbidden form of cannibalism. By 1980, that edict had ceased. So I suppose it's fair to say that they kind of make it up as they go along, and when the prophecies are wrong, they obfuscate. Now, I don't want to just put this on Jehovah's Witnesses. I've been candid on the Bible Answer Man broadcast in terms of what's going on with prophecy pundits in the Christian world in general. The number of failed prophecies is simply mind-boggling, mind-numbing. I wrote about this in various places, including the Apocalypse Code, but it's simply incredible that the same kind of practices you find in the cults, you also now find within the kingdom of Christ.
Yeah, and the Bible does say, I believe, that one false prophecy is all it takes to know that that organization or that person is not a bona fide prophet from God. Is that right?
Well, you do have the prescription that you're referring to in Deuteronomy chapter 18, but there's also another one that a lot of people forget about, and that is that the prophecy, and I think that's Deuteronomy 13, the prophecy also has to lead you towards the true God, the one true God revealed in Scripture. And that's why Jeremiah says, do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Also, the quote of the day, it is by the ever-quotable Rod Dreher, a fantastic quote that relates directly to the monologue I communicated at the beginning of the broadcast. Again, the number to dial to get your questions answered in just a few moments, 888-ASK-HANK.
Because much of CRI's mission consists of equipping Christians with what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith, we think his new book, Forensic Faith, is a must-read. Wallace's book is a valuable and practical resource for every Christian who wants to know that his or her faith makes good sense and who wants to engage with seekers and skeptics based on the solid evidence for their faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Christianity is on trial. Skeptics and critics set out to poke and prod followers of the Lord Jesus into thinking they believe in fairy tales. Tragically, many Christians are unprepared for the battle, and they surrender truth to flimsy and lame arguments. What is at stake? C.S. Lewis said, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important." To develop a clear, evidence-based faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, read J. Warner Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith. A homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable, evidential Christian faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. "If there is one gift I wish to give you," says J. Warner Wallace, "it is the certainty that comes with loving and knowing the truth and developing a forensic faith." Wallace's latest book, Forensic Faith, will help Christians know what they believe, why they believe, and in whom they believe in order to stand in the battle for life and truth. Christianity is on trial, and the stakes are of eternal importance. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith, A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. At the beginning of the broadcast, I was talking about Montreat University that is now in turmoil, evidently, because of being extraordinarily controversial. They are so controversial, according to an article in the newspaper on this matter, that they have the temerity, meaning the reckless boldness, to suggest that those who work for the school affirm the sanctity of marriage between one man and one woman, and further, they have the reckless boldness to make their hires subscribe to the worth of every human being from conception to death. That is now seen to be extraordinarily controversial. Now, all of that prologue to the quotable Rod Dreher, who said this in The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation. He said, and I quote, "Gay marriage and gender ideology signify the final triumph of the sexual revolution and the dethroning of Christianity, because they deny Christian anthropology. Christian anthropology at its very core, and thus shatter the authority of the Bible." I mean, think about that. Gay marriage, gender fluidity, which is the new idea, signified the final triumph of the sexual revolution. Started a long time ago. But we have lost the culture war. This is the dethroning of Christianity, says Rod, because they deny Christian anthropology. The very nature of humanity is being denied. And then on top of that, they shatter the authority of the Bible. Again, the quote of the day by Rod Dreher, well said, pithy, profound, poignant, and I suppose, well, it should fuel us to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. Next up, Eric, listening in Statesville, North Carolina. Hi, Eric.
How you doing, sir?
Good, thank you.
Yes, sir, you got it. Brother Hank, I called you. This is my third call from talking to you.
Wow.
But what I want to ask you, what is the actual biblical meaning when Paul said for the women to be silent, remain silent in the church? A lot of preacher churches think, well, I ain't going to say, now I'll let you say what you're going to say, and then I'll say, what's the biblical term for that? What was he talking about?
Well, I think you need some contextualization. I've always made three points in this regard. The first of which is that Paul obviously did not intend to say that women must always be silent in the church. Rather, you have a cultural context here in which women were largely illiterate and largely unlearned, very, very much different from the situation we have in our culture today. And Paul was saying that until a woman learned, she must not presume to teach. If Paul had intended to say a woman must always be silent, he would not have given women instructions on how to pray or prophesy publicly in the church, which he does. I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So the point here is that you have a culture in which women were on the lowest rung of the socioeconomic ladder. Their testimonies were not considered viable in the court of law. And Paul is therefore saying, unless a woman learns, she shouldn't teach. Now, that principle, as you immediately recognize, if you're thinking along with me, is a principle that applies to men as well. James says, let not many of you be teachers, because with teaching there is a stricter judgment. By the way, that always causes me to shudder. I will stand before God and be held accountable for what I have taught in public platforms. And I suppose if there's one thing that drives me towards the apex of saying, I am going to continue to learn as opposed to continue to pontificate a few slogans that I have learned. We must continue in our learning because, again, we're going to be held accountable for what we are teaching. And that is particularly true when it comes to essential Christian doctrine. But let me give you a second point. What Paul is doing here in the passage that you are elucidating. He is alluding to Eve's deception in the Garden of Eden. And Paul is underscoring how crucial it is that women, like men, involve themselves in learning. So far from chastising Eve for her role in the fall, Paul chastises the Jewish men of his day for excluding women from learning. You got to remember that Paul has learned from Jesus, and he saw women in the inner circle of Christ. And therefore, he is so committed to saying, don't exclude women from learning, because if you do, you will leave them vulnerable to deception. And the illustration is that just as Adam was responsible for failing to protect Eve from deception, so too the men of Paul's day would be held responsible if they hindered women from studying and growing in their faith. And the third thing I typically say in this regard is that Paul's words refute, well, this matriarchal authoritarianism. Now, this was an authoritarianism that was practiced by pagan cults, and Paul was very familiar with that. And the people he was talking to were being impacted by that. Ephesus, where Timothy ministered, actually was the home of a cult dedicated to a pagan goddess, Artemis. And worship of Artemis was conducted under the authority of an entirely female priesthood that exercised authoritative dominion over males. And therefore, Paul emphasized that women should not presume undue, and I think that's the real key, undue authority over men. So what you have in the end is Paul neither elevating women over men nor men over women, but was actually concerned that men and women be granted equal opportunity to learn and grow in submission to one another and to God. Very much like Mary did. Mary is the example of all Christians, right? We hold her up as the icon. We're all icons of God. We're all created in the image and likeness of God. But the ultimate example of theosis, or union with God, is Mary. And so we look up to a woman as Christians as the ultimate example of what we can do with lowliness, meekness, a sense of servanthood, and a complete commitment and dedication to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hopefully that helps. Let's go. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. And you know what? That last little bit that you said right there, dedication and knowledge. And these churches try to hold these women down from doing that. And I think that's out of order.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, I couldn't agree with you more. And I've talked about this a lot on the show. First, I have to, in all fair disclosure, say that I have been mentored by some of the greatest minds in the church. And some of those minds were female minds, people who were extraordinarily gifted in the study of history and theology and the practical application of history and theology. One of them was Gretchen Pasentino. I did her funeral a number of years ago. She was an absolutely brilliant human being. Now, she was gifted. And the question now becomes, is she going to use that gift? Well, thanks be to God that she used that gift. And as a result of that, I benefited greatly. 30 years ago, it wasn't exactly 30 years ago. I'm using round numbers here. But back in the mid-80s, the Pasentinos, when I was just a young apologist, took me under their wing and taught me so much about how to think about the Word of God, taught me so much about hermeneutics, taught me so much about history and theology, and greatly expanded my ability to think and to teach. And so I'm forever grateful that Gretchen Pasentino, in particular, exercised that gift in my life. Now, I could give other examples. I won't go on about this. But what's critical in saying this is simply that if a woman has a gift, She ought to use that gift, and if she's not using that gift, she's in sin. Now, in terms of hierarchy or God using men for certain things and women for using for other things within the context of the church, there's a, there's a whole other discussion. The point that I'm making is if a woman has a gift, she's obligated to use that gift for God's glory.
And I agree every word you say. And you know, these women, they sitting back and they have gifts, and I know they're there. And they can, matter of fact, if the man don't step up his plate, guess what? The Lord's work got to go on. You know what I'm saying? And if ain't no men there, the women got to do it.
You know what I like about you, Eric? I'm sort of recognizing that I've heard you call in before, as you mentioned, but you have a lot of practical sense and wisdom, and I really appreciate your call. I'm going to have to let you go, however, because I'm running out of time. I've got a few things to do as we close down the show today. First of all, I mentioned that you can hear us on Sirius XM 131. It's live at 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, but you can kind of figure it out as it goes along the country towards the West Coast. You can also listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on the web. There are going to be many other outlets for teaching through the Christian Research Institute, podcasts and vlogs and blogs and you name it. And do remember that you can call in your question on the Bible Answer Man broadcast by dialing 888-ASK-HANK, but you can do it many other ways. And I'm going to try to work in some of this in the near future as the Lord provides. But some of the questions that come through Facebook, Twitter, and many other digital media platforms. Look at that. I know the difference between digital and analog now. And we do, as we close out the broadcast, want to thank those who are standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Without you, I could not do what I do. So thank you so much. What you're doing is an investment in time and in eternity. We'll see you tomorrow with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of J. Warner Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith: A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. For multitudes of young people raised in a secular culture, the Christian faith makes little sense, and we're losing millions of younger Christians because they haven't been equipped to make sense of their faith in a world increasingly hostile to Christianity. In short, many young Christians lack what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith. Christianity has a rich evidential history, and as followers of Christ, we must learn to make the case for what we believe. Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith, will equip you with the tools necessary to become an effective Christian casemaker. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.